Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Brilliant. You guys good? Summer has arrived at last, eh? Brilliant. There's a few Thanksgiving cards here. Somebody's thanking the Lord for £1,500 of outstanding overdues. Fees have now been paid. And so thank you, Lord, for the fees. I don't know what they're for, but something's being paid, which is great. Thank you, Lord, for... This is one... Somebody's thanking the Lord for Fraser Newman. Is Fraser in here? Fraser, where are you? Fraser, right in the middle. Stand up, Fraser, would you, mate? Just, no, stay standing, mate. Stay standing. Stand up. Everybody say, stand up, Fraser. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing of leadership on Fraser Newman. What an amazing young man to lead our young people at United. Amen. Don't embarrass you, mate, but you're a man of principle, man of conviction, man of integrity. And you live what you say and you say what you live. And that's really important for any of us. But also, you know, leading young people, they want to see something. They don't just want to hear a message. They want to see somebody who's living in a really authentic way, living out their faith in a way that's a real example. So we want to honour you, Fraser, for who you are. And Fraser lives with us in our home with us. And so we know the way he is, the way he lives, and really want to honour you, mate, in terms of who you are. Brilliant. Then this is great. Sally Hopkins has put this one in. Glory to God for a blue card turned orange. An amazing answer to prayer in the workplace. A lady I work with had been trying for a second child for 10 years. I prayed with her and told her I would put in a blue card and explain what that would mean. She is now expecting a baby. Come on. God loves to do the impossible, doesn't he? Does she know the Lord or not?
No.
Not yet. All right. So we'll pray for her. Father, we just pray for that lady right now. We thank you that in the midst of this story unfolding in her life, that you would reveal who you are. Yes. That she would just know on the inside that you have done this.
Yes.
And that you would just cause her to come to you, to come to know you. She would give her life to you and her life would be totally transformed. And her children, her family. Father, we thank you this is the beginning of something totally new in that family from this time. We thank you, Jesus. Father, we ask you to just a fresh anointing on Sally. She shares a story, talks about you, and just knows how to be with her to end up helping to lead her to know you. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. This is from Paulie. Where's Paulie? Down here. We love you, mate. about 20 of us guys, we went away over Friday night to Saturday, a bit of a camp out, a lot of eating. There was a lot of eating, a lot of fun, bit of raft building, getting wet, discipling one another. And having a great time together, just praying, getting into the Word. And he's just thanking the Lord for a really awesome time together during those few days. Brilliant.
Bring it on more.
Bring it on more. Bring it on. Come on. Just keep going, mate. It's encouraging, all right? Everybody else might be sitting, but you, come on, keep going. We're not camping next week, mate. Faith camp's coming in a couple of weeks. We're gonna have a week of camping, all right? What? Yeah, one's enough every year, I think, mate. Brilliant. Okay, I'm going to keep going, even there's a lot of heckling over there. At the moment, we've just come to the end of Mark's gospel, and we're launching into. Over the next few days, 1 Peter and 2 Peter. And then after that, Colossians, and then after that, Titus, which will finish off the month of July. So there's a lot packed into this month in terms of just getting into the Word, reading the Word every day. I don't actually have a flyer up here, but if you don't have a little flyer which showing you what days we're reading the Word, and remember, we want to encourage everybody every day to soap, okay? S-O-A-P, Scripture for S, read the Word. Observation, what's God saying to you? What's he speaking to you about? Application, what does that mean in your life? What does that mean for you that day? To apply something of his truth in your life that day. And then P is prayer. Just pray through that and ask for God to grace you to live in the way that he wants you to live each day. And just the importance of our lives being rooted in the Word. Our lives, make sure our lives are being built on the rock of who Jesus is, the Word. So that in amongst all the stuff that's going on at this time, lots of things being said in lots of contexts, we don't take our direction from the news of the day or the hour that seems to be unfolding, but we live according to what God is saying to us. And, you know, as you read the Word and as you do that daily, so that we're not just spoon-fed Christians on a Sunday, but we're self-feeding Christians every day, so that our lives are determined by God's Word. You know, when we do that, when we hear challenges in the day, when we hear things that maybe we don't agree with, or a bit of news comes up, like what happened the other night in France, and some of the challenge of that, that can cause fear, it can cause all sorts of things. But you know, when our lives are rooted in the Word, we're listening to the Word. We're hearing God's voice. And then in the middle of those things that happen in the workplace or in life, in the family, or stuff we hear on the news, because we're rooting ourselves in the Word daily, we're reading His Word, we're listening to what He's saying, we become more attuned to His voice. And so therefore, in the middle of circumstances, we then hear His voice in the middle. What do I need to think here? How do I need to respond here? And there's a sensitivity to His voice in amongst all the other voices that are going on. So I just want to really encourage you. This isn't something that we're just doing as a church for a little while. This is really helping every one of us to take responsibility in our own lives, our own relationship with the Lord. And it's an aspect of discipleship, being a disciple, walking with Jesus, that we are walking with Him in His Word. And His Word is life into our lives. So we're going through, we've just sort of finished Mark's Gospel, which I don't know if you noticed this, but there was a lot in Mark's Gospel about the supernatural, about healings, about the miraculous nature of God. There weren't loads of parables, not as much teaching as other Gospels, but there was a lot about victory and overcoming, you know, because of what he saw happening. So then when we come into 1 Peter and 2 Peter, this next week, because there's, I think 7 or 8 chapters between the two books. Peter is predominantly writing to Gentile believers, and it's in the context of a lot of persecution that's going on, the church being persecuted back then, around AD 60, 65, something like that when it was written. And there's a lot of persecution, a lot of testing of their faith going on, and Peter speaks right into the middle of their lives. In the middle of testing and persecution, maybe we have some challenges as Christians at this time, but we're not being persecuted in our nation, not in the way that they were persecuted then. But we have some challenges and testings in terms of how we live. But he was really teaching some very, very practical stuff about how to respond to your authorities, how to be within the church, to honour one another. How do we live under the Lordship of Jesus? But very, very practical stuff. So I want to encourage you as you read 1 Peter in the next few days. You need to give yourself a few minutes, a bit of time. Don't just read it and say, well, I've only got time to quickly whiz through it. And it's easy to read something and say, well, what is it saying to me? Sometimes we just need to take a few minutes to read it and just meditate a bit and ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want to say to me in this? What do you want to say to me as I read your Word today? What life do you want to reveal about you, who you are, about how you want me to be, all that kind of stuff? And especially the next few days, you know, as we're in challenging times, we want to root in the Word. Then 2 Peter, as you get towards the end of the week, he writes that about 5 or 6 years after he writes his first letter. And that's in the context where in the church, there's a lot of deception going on. There's a lot of challenges going on, a lot of false teaching. And the church is beginning to live a bit more of a worldly lifestyle. And so he's kind of encouraging the church to really live according to the gospel, live according to the truth. Remember who we are in the challenges of the day. That's basically what he's saying in those few chapters. And live as if Christ is returning imminently. That's his kind of encouragement. I don't know if you'll remember all of this, but it's just to give a few pointers for the next couple of weeks. Then Colossians, when we come to that the following week, there were, again, various heresies, false teachings, deceptions that were going around in the church. And he was just encouraging people, stand firm in the faith. Stand firm in the truth. It's the only way you're going to be able to stand. That's what he's basically saying. And there's quite a bit in there about Christ being God and what does that mean for us, and Christ's authority and what does that mean for us in our lives so that we don't get overcome by other stuff and negativity. And then finally, Titus is really a bit more towards leadership. Titus is one of those guys that traveled around with Paul the apostle along with Timothy and others. And he's really speaking to Titus about how to practically lead and organize the church, how to raise up leaders, what's required to be a leader, but also encouraging the believers how to live a holy life. But again, there's some really practical stuff in there. So just want to encourage you, just keep rooted in the Word. And just remember, we gave an illustration a little while ago about an oak tree, about the roots going deeper. And there was another example about a tree we gave in a national park in America, the big redwood tree that had been there for hundreds of years, and then one day it just fell over. And ultimately, there was no storm or anything like that, but they realized when they did all their tests that because of the footfall, because of people walking around the tree for decades and decades to come and look at this thing, the footfall had killed the roots. And underneath, the root system had died. Even though the tree looked good on the outside, it just fell over one day because there was no life in the tree, and it just one day went. And so we want to continue to grow our roots, develop our roots, our relationship with God, so that we go deeper, so that we can be more healthy spiritually. The way we live our lives really honors the Lord. That impacts your marriage, it'll impact your friendships, impact your family. And there's just fruit that flows from your life when we live in the way that God wants us to. I think sometimes we just need to return to some of the basics, some of the simple stuff of how to live as a believer, how to be a disciple in the days that we're in. Often we want fresh revelation. We want the latest preach and teach and something I've never, ever heard before. You know, and sometimes we want that, you know, just so that, oh, that was great. That really did something for me. And actually, that's great. But actually, are we living the daily step-by-step, rooting our lives in relationship with Him, getting into the Word, hearing what He's saying to us, letting His life flow in us and through us, letting Him be the one that determines the mood and the attitude of the day in your life, letting Him determine the thoughts, the language, the heart that flows, and all of that kind of stuff. We can't, you know, Jane and I read a few things the other day, some various websites we kind of get emails from. You know, you can have some good, there's some good prophetic websites out there, and there's some, yeah. But it's interesting listening to people that have got, you know, established and really kind of recognized ministries and that. And a book that Andrew Sainsbury's reading at the moment, and he shared some things with me in the week. How many people are preaching at this time and speaking about, in the church context, just the basics about reading the Word every day, being rooted in the Word, listening to what God's saying to you, to enable you to stand, to enable you to take your position in what God is doing at this time. Now, why, when you kind of ask that, you say, well, how come so many people are preaching? Because the Holy Spirit, if people are listening to the Holy Spirit, then we're going to be preaching and teaching what the Holy Spirit wants to preach and teach and say to the church. And so if God is saying that across the board in a lot of places, God obviously knows, because He speaks ahead of time, ahead of what goes on in the natural, so that we're ready for whatever goes on in the natural, so it doesn't take us by surprise and blow us off course. So He says about rooting our lives in the Word, to hear from Him and all of that, because He knows we're going to need it if we're going to stand in the days that we're living in now, but also in the days to come. I'm not prophesying doom and gloom, but these days are challenging. And obviously what happened in Nice the other day is just another example of what's kicking off. And we need to be vigilant in our own lives. We're in days where you can't be dependent on somebody else's faith. You can't be dependent on somebody else's relationship with God. You can't be dependent on somebody else's revelation of God. Somebody can bring revelation that can encourage you, that can inspire you, that can help you. But actually, when the going gets tough, you can be reminded of that. But actually, when challenges of the day are there and when we need to overcome in different ways, what's going on the inside of you is going to rise up more than necessary revelation that somebody else has just had that sounded great in the moment, but you might not have really taken hold of. So we want to be rooted in the Word. We're going to keep banging on about this in our lives because we've got to stand. We've got to be like pillars in our society. You know, that we're not shaken by the latest thing that is going on and everything. So do you want to just grab your Bibles for a minute? We're going to look at one verse in Mark 15. Then we're going to go into Isaiah 53 just for a few minutes. And then we're going to have a time where we're going to pray. We're going to see God do some stuff. We're going to have communion together. But just a few things this morning. Just felt God this morning just wants to heal some things in people's lives and bodies. We're going to have communion together. But in Mark chapter 15, one verse, when Jesus was hanging on the cross there, he'd been through the whippings, the beatings. He'd been through all the things the previous few hours. And he was hanging there on the cross. And they were taunting him even on the cross, saying, if he really is Elijah or listen, you know, he's calling for Elijah. Let's see if Elijah's going to come and get him down. In verse 37, it says, with a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. Then this is the verse. Verse 38, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Translate that in your mind right now and you're thinking from the curtain was torn from top to bottom. What curtain was that? Well, in the temple, there were three areas. And the two inner areas were the holy place and the holy of holies. And between those two areas was a curtain. And nobody was allowed to go into the holy of holies except once a year, the high priest would go in and offer a sacrifice on behalf of all the people's sins back then. It was a no-go area for everybody else. And what the cross represented at that moment when the curtain was torn in two is that curtain was literally torn in two and then the way was opened up then to have for every, it made possible for every person to then come into a personal relationship with God that was like living in the Holy of Holies, that intimate, that close with God. And the curtain being torn in two from top to bottom is like God saying, I'm coming down from heaven. I've come from heaven to earth because you can't get from earth to heaven. I'm going to have to come from heaven to earth and I'm going to have to do something that tears that curtain in two, that opens up the way to make it possible for me, for you to know me and that relationship to become reality. So let's have a look at Isaiah 53. Just only a few verses in here this morning. Then we're going to get into some praying, communion. I was reading through this the other day, and I don't know, it just struck me as I was reading it, just what Jesus went through in a fresh way, the pain, the abuse that he went through. Now, we know in Isaiah 53, Isaiah's prophesying about the Messiah, about the one to come, okay? And he speaks here in verse 4. About who the Messiah is and what he's going to do. So he's talking about Jesus here. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God and smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions and he was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Surely he took up our infirmities. The word infirmities there means sickness, okay? Pain and suffering, it means sickness. So he took up every pain, every sickness. There was nothing that somebody can suffer with that he didn't take with him to the cross to make it possible for people to be healed. There was nothing. He didn't miss anything. So there's nothing that's going on in your body today that he cannot heal and deal with and free you from today. Does anybody believe that today? Then it says he carried our sorrows. So the first one is the physical. The second one, he carried our sorrows. That's the damage that is done in life emotionally through stuff that happens in life. Rejections, various things that happen that cause emotional damage in people's lives. Okay, so he carried every sorrow. Why? So that we don't have to carry or live with those things in our lives. We don't have to live with any damage or that kind of brokenness in our lives. So he carried every sorrow to the cross. That's where he carried it to. He doesn't carry it now. He's defeated it. But what he does, he carried it as he was whipped and beaten on the way, and they abused him and whatever they did to him on the way, he carried every sorrow to the cross so that it could be nailed to the cross and so it could be dealt with. Then it says, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. They're quite strong words in there. And we considered him stricken by God and smitten. Stricken and smitten are similar words in terms of what they actually mean. But it means struck by God. It actually means with a forceful blow. It means to be struck. And we think, well, hang on a minute. Why would the Father, with a kind of powerful blow, why would he smitten Jesus or with a powerful blow send him to the cross? But he said, we considered him stricken and smitten and afflicted. God is a God of justice. And God knew that the only way of dealing with sin, sickness, the power of everything that could separate us from God, from him, the only way he could deal with that was by every punishment that sin and everything else deserves, that punishment had to be exercised somewhere, somehow. And so the conversation in heaven that must have gone on before Jesus came and was born, I don't know what that conversation was like, but there must have been something where the Father said to the Son, I need a perfect sacrifice. I need somebody to live on earth, to live amongst the people, humanity, but ultimately go to the cross and take all of these things upon them so that my justice can be exercised, so that relationship with mankind can be restored how I originally intended it in creation. For man and women to have to be in perfect harmony and perfect relationship with me. And so Jesus came as that sacrifice. And that's why the word says that he was smitten, stricken. He was afflicted by God because Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. But Jesus still had to surrender and submit to the Father to be able to go to the cross to willingly allow God's justice to be exercised, and every sin and pain and sickness, both physical, emotional, mental, whatever, to be put on Jesus in our place. Then it goes on in verse 5, but he was pierced for our transgressions, for our sins. And then he was crushed for our iniquities. The word iniquity there means evil. It's stronger than sin. The word there, transgressions translates to sin, things we do wrong, all of that. But iniquities is more to do with evil. It's another kind of level of activity. And Jesus was pierced for our sins, and then he was crushed for our iniquities. See, what does the enemy do? The enemy wants to crush people's lives. He wants to destroy people's lives. And Jesus hung there on the cross and he said, I'm going to take that destroying work that the devil seeks to destroy and crush people's lives, and I'm willing to go to the cross so that I can be crushed instead of other people's lives being crushed, so that people can be given a completely new life, new start. Amen. You see the heart of the Father here. You see the heart of Jesus here. Then the second part of verse 5. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. The punishment that brought us peace. The word peace there, as well as meaning total well-being. The punishment that brought us peace, that brought us oneness with him, was upon him. The thing that enabled us to become one with God, that peace. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. Now, we often appropriate that to physical healing, that verse, and it is. But also that verse is also meaning by his wounds we are healed. because of what goes before in terms of his saving grace, the punishment that brought us peace, his salvation was upon us. And by his wounds, we are made whole. We are made complete. Spirit, soul, and body, we are made whole. That's really what that verse means. It's more than just physical healing. It's being made one with God, becoming whole, a new person in God, in Christ. So we have this amazing work that Jesus has done in our lives. And what he is still doing in our lives right now to enable us to live in the good of this. This is still true for everybody that has not yet given their lives to Jesus, that doesn't know God. These verses, the reality of this is still shouting loud and clear over the generation that we are living in. Even though many people don't necessarily want to know God at this moment, his heart is still for every person that is living next door to you and me. We work with, we spend time with. This is his heart. This is what who he died for. He died once and he died for all. He died for every person. And we want to appropriate and take hold of stuff this morning. We want to be active in our faith, okay? And this morning, anything physically wise, we want to see broken over our lives. Any emotional turmoil, stuff going on, see Jesus, carry that and take that. Whatever, if there's any sin, any stuff you know you need to be forgiven, anything that's crushed you in your life, God wants to lift that off. So you don't live under anything, but you live over it. We live as overcomers in our lives. And then living in the good of our salvation, that he has brought us peace or salvation and be made whole in him. So it's taking hold of the word in our lives, taking hold of the truth in our lives and saying, I'm not going to live with this. I'm not going to allow this to determine my thinking, my heart, my day, my life, my thoughts, my emotions. I'm not going to let this stuff overcome me because I am an overcomer in Christ. Because if he overcame all these things on the cross and I am now in him and he is in me, he enables me to live in the same life that he lived then, that he is still living now. And how do we live that? We live that in the power of the Holy Spirit to enable us to live the life of Jesus. So our lives are dependent on who the Holy Spirit is daily to be able to actually live as a believer and appropriate the truth of who God is in our lives today. But also we need the Holy Spirit to enable us to live life in the way that everything is going on today at this time. So let's stand to our feet, shall we? Short message. Everybody's like, wow, that was short. But we're going to take hold of the word today. We're going to appropriate the word today. He took up our infirmities, as the Bible says there. He took up our infirmities. He took them up onto the cross. He carried our sorrows. He was pierced for our transgression and crushed for our iniquities. Jesus came out the other side of the cross. He gave up his spirit. Those things didn't kill him. That's the great thing about the cross. Those things did not kill Jesus. He gave up his spirit. He breathed his last and then he died. And when the news got to Pilate that this Jesus already died, he was like, wow, they normally take a lot longer than that on the cross. So what's going on? Because Jesus gave up his spirit. Why? Because he said, it's finished. It's complete. It's done. I've done it all. I've finished my work. There's nothing left to do. So I can now die. But remember, the Bible says death couldn't hold him. So 3 days later, he rose from the dead because death could not hold him. And so on the cross, he defeated death. It wasn't when he rose from the dead that he defeated death. It was on the cross that he defeated death. That's why 3 days later, he rose again. And during those 3 days, he was down preaching the gospel to all of those that had lived before up until that point to give him the opportunity to respond. So I don't know how many people from the Old Testament are going to be in heaven. The other side of Jesus, you know, compared to this side, if you like, the cross. I don't know. I'd hope to think if I was back then and Jesus rocked up and revealed who he was, I'd be like, I'm going that way. And if I've got another chance, another opportunity. But death couldn't hold him. So he's alive. Amen. So what was Jesus doing? He was just being who he was all the way through. That's why sin couldn't defeat him. So before he went to the cross, he had already won the victory. because he was the Savior. So he never sinned. He was never sick, however he lived. So when it came time, say this is the cross, when it came time to the cross, he just kept walking in who he is. It's the Son of God, as the Messiah. Even though he was fully man, fully human, he had to submit and surrender himself to the Father every day. And in order to then go through the cross, he had to submit himself, not my will, but yours be done. But it was the joy that was set before him that he endured the cross because he knew what was on the other side, not just for him, but for us. So when Jesus went through the cross, what was he doing? He was taking hold of the whole of mankind at that moment. And he was, in one sense, wanted to drag the whole of mankind or take the whole of mankind through the cross with him and back into relationship with the Father, because that's his heart. The Father doesn't want anybody left this side of the cross not knowing God. And so Jesus, when he went through the cross, just kept going. And when he was on the cross, sin, sickness, death, hell, whatever it was that tried to taunt him and get him this side or whatever of the cross, he just kept going. All of it was defeated. And at that moment, the way was made possible, opened up so that everybody here could now come through what Jesus went through and come into relationship with the Father as he originally intended. But in this relationship with God here, we know we're still bombarded with all sorts of rubbish that would want us to come down from that place of victory and overcoming to take us off the course that we have with God. And that's why every day, this is life to us. This is breath into our lives. That we live like this. We live, Father, I thank you for your word. And there might be one verse that speaks to you. It might be a story that speaks to you. It might be a testimony of a healing or whatever it is in here that speaks to you one day. But this side of the cross, we want this. Not just this or in a phone form, you know, like glued to our hand. What we want is the word, this thing. I want to encourage you, read your Bible. Don't just read your phone or your iPad. Read your Bible. You know, I know they did a test with blokes, young men, and in schools and stuff, in places of education, and actually found that guys read a lot more if it's off a screen than they do in a book. Fine. So if you know, wherever you just read the word, right? Just read it. But as you get a hunger, I want to encourage you, still have a look at this, all right, as well. And so you know where things are and how it, you know, whatever. Get a study one as well and just read a bit of it, get some other information going. But as you're walking with God, we're walking in this. So it's not, oh, well, I'll get this out when I need something. Oh, I'm a bit stuck now, so I wonder what's in the Bible that could help me out here. Or you might say, look, mate, you got any idea if the Bible talks about this anywhere? No, we want this to be relevant. We want this. This is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Yes. This is the thing that shows us how to live and know God and walk with each other and how to love people and all of that kind of stuff. So we want this to be the thing that determines our steps. And so every day we want to be like, Father, I'm just intrigued. What do you want to say to me today? What do you want to show me today? And because the Father's ready, he's like, I want to show you some stuff and talk to you today. So as we walk out, it's like, God, I'm dependent on your word and your spirit today. I don't want to live one day and just say, well, I need you today, but actually, I'm all right today, I can do it for a few days. And then you find you're just a bit unrest and not quite have peace and you're just a bit aggravated and you come back and it's like, oh yeah, you know, and all of that. And so you get hold of this again and then you get into a place of peace and then it's like, oh, well, I've been doing that for a bit and I'm all right. And actually, no, we want to be totally dependent on who he is and his word. Amen. So let's just come before the Lord for a minute. Just want to encourage you, get into the word, get into the word, read the word. It's the only way you'll get a desire and a hunger for the word is to read it. I can't lay hands on you to give you a hunger for the word. You'll only get it by doing it. The more you do something, the more you want to do it. And that discipline will become desire. And that desire will turn into revelation and God speaking and a flow of something. And when you're in a flow of something, there's an ease in it. It's easy to walk in a flow of something. So, Father, I just thank you as a church, fresh revelation of your word and who you are. Now, there's probably lots of different sicknesses, ailments, things going on in people's bodies in here. Could be joints, blood stuff, issues with muscles, bones, backs, limbs, hearing, smelling, digestive, lungs, body organs, There's probably all sorts of things going on in here. Skin conditions, allergies, food intolerances, all of that kind of stuff. Surely he took up our infirmities. Father, I thank you right now that you are the healer in this place, in our lives. No matter what it is right now, I just want you to see yourself handing it over to the Lord. Aches, pains, diagnosis, whatever it is. Just say, Father, this is not mine. This is not my sickness. You took it 2,000 years ago to the cross. So, Father, I thank you right now for your healing grace in this room. I take authority over aches and pains, over blood disorders, joints where there's arthritis, aches and pains, clicks in joints around the body. I speak to backs right now to be healed in Jesus' name. Muscle disorders, be healed. I speak to heart conditions right now, be healed in Jesus' name. Skin conditions, I command dry skin to be healed right now. Where there's eczema, be healed. I speak to that skin, all the right vitamins to just come into being right now in the skin, in the bodily system in Jesus' name. Take authority over dyslexia and dyspraxia right now in the mind, in the brain. I command your brains, your minds to come right in the name of Jesus. Right now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you. Where there's other electrical connections that are not right in the brain, I just command healing now. In Jesus' name, somebody, number of people, you've got hearing issues in different ways. Just if you've got a hearing issue somewhere, put your hands over your ears right now. In the name of Jesus, I command ears to be healed right now. In Jesus' name, ear infections go. The ringing in the ears, leave right now in Jesus' name. Somebody's got partial hearing in your left ear. I just command that to be open right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, somebody, a number of you with eyesight issues, eye pains, various things right now, put your hands over your eyes. I just command eyes to be healed now in Jesus' name. Where there's eye disease, I command that to be healed now. Somebody, because of eye things, you get lots of headaches. You normally get at least one a day, or it's just there at the back of your head. Well, I just command that to stop now in Jesus' name. And I command your eyes to be healed right now from that thing in Jesus' name. That headache leaves right now. All the kind of things in your respiratory kind of things and breathing, your nasal passages down through into your breathing ducts and all that kind of stuff. There's other people with stuff like that. If that's you, just begin to breathe in through your nose. Close your mouth and breathe in through your nose right now, and then breathe out through your nose. I just command those nasal passages to be clear right now. I command all those diagnoses. Whatever somebody has said you have, we just command something different right now in Jesus' name. I speak healing over your nasal passage, over your respiratory system right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Where there's reactions to the temperature, you know, pollen and various other things and asthma and all that kind of stuff. If you suffer with things like asthma, just lay hands on your chest right now. I command asthma to leave right now in Jesus' name. We're not having breathing issues and all of that kind of stuff. I command you to be healed now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you. Somebody else has a lung condition, a breathing disorder. Just put your hand, whichever lung that, whichever side of your chest that is, I command that to go right now. Be healed in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for knee joints being healed, elbow joints being healed, backs being healed. Father, I thank you for your healing grace being released right now. Ankle joints being healed in Jesus' name. Arthritis, get out of people's body right now in Jesus' name. I speak healing over your bodies right now. Right now, right now. Somebody's digestive system's been all over the place recently, and you haven't been able to go to the loo properly, and no matter what you've tried to do, it's just been all over the place. Whatever's going on in there, I command you to be healed right now. Come into order in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Somebody, if you've got other intolerances to food, if that's you, lay hands on your stomach right now. I command those intolerances to go now in Jesus' name. Be healed. I command this body to be healthy now. Everybody in this place, in this whole body, we want to outlaw sickness in this place. We're not a people who are sick, trying to stumble through life and get through. We're walking through life healthy and whole. So we command health and healing in Jesus' name. We're not living with this stuff in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Muscle conditions right now. Several people have tight muscles. Some of you might say, yeah, well, I'm just getting older. But don't confess that over your life. The Bible says our youth is renewed like the eagles. Speak that over your life. You don't have to say, I'm getting older, so I can't do as much and I'm not as mobile. That might be the facts, but don't live in the facts. If you speak the facts, they'll become stronger in your life. Instead, say, Father, I thank you for a revelation that my youth is being renewed like the eagles. So I'm speaking life over my body, over my muscles, over my joints, over everything. I might be getting older in age, but I can still be youthful in my body and how I live and go about life. So just speak to your body right now to be strong, to be healthy. Speak to your heart right now. I thank you for a healthy heart. I speak to what are the things that go in and out of the heart? What are they called? Valves. Just speak to the valves going in and out of my heart right now. And I speak health over those valves in Jesus' name. I speak to my heart. Be healthy right now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for a healthy heart that pumps blood all around my body to where it needs to go. Just speak that over your body right now. Take hold of the truth of what he's done in his word and speak that over your life right now. Health, wholeness, vibrancy. Just thank him that your youth is being renewed like the eagles. Thank him for fresh vibrancy in your body, fresh energy in your body. Father, I thank you. I praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Some of you, there's more emotional-based stuff. Just give that to the Lord right now, where there's areas of rejection, pain, stuff that's gone on. Jesus says he carried those sorrows to the cross, so you don't have to carry them. He carried them instead. So just give them to him right now. Say, Father, here they are. I put them into your hands. The rejection, whatever I might have been living under, whatever that emotional sorrow might have been. There's one or two people where you've lost people in the last year or two, and you still, it's still like you're carrying some sorrow in a way. And you're like, you know, there's a negative part of that that's affected you in a negative way. And you just need to give it to the Lord. Father, I just give you that sorrow. I don't want to live under that anymore. The time of grieving is over. That doesn't mean you don't remember people and you just forget them. There's two different things. You can remember those you've lost, but you don't have to live under any grief or sorrow. That it's like a cloud over you. So just hand those things over to the Lord right now. Every sorrow, anything like that that has affected your life, just hand it over. Father, I give you that. And maybe just lift your head wherever you are. You can keep your eyes closed, but maybe just lift your head up instead of being down. Lift it up. Father, I thank you that you take this sorrow. I thank you for the oil of joy, the oil of gladness right now instead of that sorrow and despair. I thank you for the oil of gladness and joy right now in my life. Thank you. So there's two or three of you. You can feel like a heaviness lifting off you right now where you are. There's a heaviness lifting off because there's joy, there's liberty, there's something new that God is just doing and freeing you from right now. Some of you, the pain of things that have happened in the past in terms of upbringing, family, relationships, father, mum, all that kind of stuff. God can do something in a moment right now. You've carried sorrow in a particular way. You would know how to describe that for you. I just believe God's saying, just hand it over to me. Put it in my hands right now. I don't want you to live under that any longer. I want you to live free from that because you're not living connected to your past any longer to drag you back. I dealt with that on the cross. So you can appropriate that today on the whatever of July it is, 17th of the July. You can appropriate that today in 2016 and say, Father, I thank you. I can live free from the past and all the effects of that. And so I hand all the sorrow over to you right now. And instead of sorrow, I thank you for joy. I thank you for freedom. I thank you for release right now in my mind, in memories, but also in my emotions. I thank you for that you free me, you release me right now from everything that has sought to cripple me and crush me and redefine me this side of the cross. And no, Father, I thank you that you define who I am as a child of God. And I thank you right now for freedom in people's lives. Freedom in people's lives. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If those who serve in communion, if you'd like to just get around the tables now. If we could have the band up, that'd be great. Thank you, Jesus. We'll hear some stories in a few minutes of what God's been doing. But Father, I thank you for your healing grace right now, physically, emotionally. Maybe some of you know you need to be forgiven. Before we receive communion, we all probably just need to set our hearts ready to receive communion and what communion represents. As we eat the bread, which represents eating of who God is, who Jesus is, not physically eating him We're not cannibals. But what it represents is he gave his body for us. He went to the cross. The sickness, the sin, death, hell, everything was put upon him. And so therefore we eat of him, his life, who he is. And then the juice we drink represents his blood being shed for the forgiveness of sins. That we're now new people, new creations in Christ. We're not living an old life anymore with a hope of the new. No, we're living in something new right now. And having communion, receiving communion is appropriating the full truth of who God is in our lives, what he's done. And we rejoice in that. We celebrate that. It's a holy moment, but it's a moment to rejoice with thanksgiving who God is and what he's done. And we're appropriating the work of who he is in our bodies so that we don't live with suffering. We don't live with anything that tries to separate us from the truth of who he is, but we live in the fullness of his life and his power. So, Father, we thank you right now. So if there's anything you know you just need to settle with God before we receive communion, just do that in the next few moments. If you've fallen out with anybody, you're upset with anybody, you need to forgive someone, whoever that might be, husband, wife, family, friend, whoever it is, somebody at work, whatever scenario, just if you know you need to get something right with God, just do that simply right now. And it's very, very simple. Father, you know, if it's a relationship thing, you don't have to go through who's right, who's wrong. Whatever part you've played, say, Father, I just ask you to forgive me for annoying, upsetting, aggravating, falling out with, speaking negatively about, whatever it might be. Father, I want reconciliation there. Anything else you know you need to ask the Lord to forgive, just do that right now. Just set your heart towards him fully so that as we receive communion, we're doing it in a place of being prepared, saying, Father, I thank you right now for who you are and what you've done, and I want to live in the fullness of your life. I don't want there to be anything going on in me, or I don't want to deal with it, or I want to keep it hidden, or I just want to live with that. Now let's just give everything to the Lord. Fresh surrender, fresh submission, coming under his lordship, the lordship of who he is today. Father, we praise your name. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.